Welcome now to the midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. A quiz question could be, well, we have one, and it could be this, though, but it isn't. I hope you follow the logic there. The quiz question could be, in what opera do we hear bits of the Star-Spangled Banner from time to time representing one of the characters? And what would be the answer, Bill Florescu?
Hi, Norman. Glad to be back.
It might be Madame Butterfly.
It might be, and it is indeed. And Pinkerton, the sort of anti-hero tenor that sort of represents him. It was the opera was written before. It's the official national anthem, but it was a very popular Navy tune, and he's in the Navy, so it sort of is his Puccinian leitmotif.
And why is all of this relevant, you might ask?
Well, because we're doing it coming up here really soon.
Florentine Opera in Milwaukee, yeah. And what are the dates for the Madame Butterfly?
This weekend, the 16th and the 18th, 7:30 on Friday and 2:30 on Sunday at Eline Hall at the Marcus Center in Milwaukee.
And it's already proven popular.
Tickets are going really, really well. And we've done some really good promotions and things like that, but I suspect a lot of it has to do with being the most popular Italian opera in North America over the past 20 years. People never get tired of this tragic tale with incredible music.
And probably one of the most frequently performed. I mean, there are lists of these things, but the most frequently performed at the Met and so on. Yeah, wildly popular opera.
It's interesting, and Puccini is more popular in this country than he is even in Italy.
No kidding.
Verdi will certainly be done a lot, but you don't see Puccini quite as often in Italy, around his home in Torre del Lago and things like that, yes, but not quite as popular. Americans are just crazy. It's like British royalty. The Americans are even more crazy about British royalty than the British are. I think that's true with Americans and Puccini, too.
Well, he has this, wonderful style that's a combination of what might be called, I'll just call it romantic, that's not quite the right stamp, but then also these touches of modernity, but it's all just wonderfully melodic.
Every time some music is easier than it sounds, and some music is harder than it sounds, and I think Puccini falls into that category, not just vocally and technically, but musically, it's much more sophisticated than I think a lot of people give it credit for sure.
You have some Puccini with you, I think.
I thought it would be interesting to hear a really classic recording with Eric Leinsdorf and Anna Maffo with the Rome Opera Orchestra, some beautiful stuff. And then we talked about the Star-Spangled Banner. I have a little section here with Cesare Valletti in the first act where we sort of get familiar with Pinkerton through this use of that music.
So what do we have first?
That's it. All right. Pinkerton.
Here we go.
Facile Vangelo che fa la vita amara.
Think through a lot of operas, I suppose. Bill, you could set me straight on this pretty quickly. Though you just said, for a louse, Pinkerton gets some really great music, and usually you think of the romantic lead. He's supposed to be the good guy, but he's the double dealer here.
Yeah, the whole scene there is basically saying it's sort of a American exceptionalism theory set to music, because he basically says Americans are good to be vagabonds all over the world and take what they want. That's basically what he's saying, and he thinks that way about things, and he thinks that way about Madame Butterfly. It's not a very nice portrait of an individual.
Does he say that to her, though?
No, he says it to Sharpless, who's the American consul. Right. Yeah. He never lets her in on the fact that he thinks of this marriage to her as temporary. It's one of the things that really sets it up as a tragedy, because she sees it as permanent, and he sees it as a temporary arrangement. And it's that clash is, I think, sort of the central part of the story.
Well, they do have a love duet, though.
Yeah, and it's one of the tough things as staging the opera. It's really authentically beautiful romantic music, even though at the heart of, on his side of it, it's really not that nice. So it's a real dichotomy, but my gosh, it's some of Puccini's most beautiful love music. So.
Ora sei tutta mia.
Well, a great love duet with just a little bit of perfidy behind it.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about your singers for this production coming up this weekend?
We have an incredible cast who have really interesting backstories. Allison Cambridge is with us for the second time. For those folks in Madison, she sung, I think, with the Madison Symphony as well. But she did Boheme for us, and she's making her debut as Butterfly. She's one of the few operas, maybe the only opera singer, who's ever actually sung also on the Soul Train Awards on TV, which is something. And then our tenor, Eric Berry, a fantastic singer who I worked with in Louisiana, is also a professional golfer and is quite successful as a golfer, as well as being an incredible tenor. So these are really fascinating people on stage and off, and their chemistry on stage and how they sound together is just world class. It's really, really exciting.
You're playing this pretty much straight as far as the sets and the costumes?
I think it's a set. It's John Conklin, and it was designed for Boston Lyric Opera, and it's the type of set that will appeal to both progressive audiences and also traditional ones, because it's simple, but it certainly channels traditional Japanese ideas, but it also really focuses on the character. So it's simple, yet I think beautiful. So I think it really appeals to a broad cross-section of people.
You have to deal with this occasionally? I suppose you do, almost routinely, as to how traditional versus how progressive.
Well, one of the things I was saying to an audience for an event last week, I said, and every opera director will say this to you, you get two groups of people when you do an opera like Madame Butterfly. One group says, "You're doing Madame Butterfly again."
Uh-huh.
And the other group will say, "Why have you taken so long to do Madame Butterfly again?" And negotiating that when you program and when you pick productions is sort of the challenge that you have. But I think the way we answer that is that when we do something that is a traditional piece, presenting a really wonderful singer in her debut in the role makes a difference. And also our conductor, Francesca Lecce-Chong, Allison, myself, we're all doing this opera for the first time. I've been in the opera, but
really?
I haven't directed it. And what's great about when you have a group of people who are doing it for the first time, it's like doing a world premiere, because it's new to all of us. And so you don't have to scrape the barnacles off of it like you do sometimes when you have everybody in the cast being veterans.
Well, I would guess the traditionalists and progressives alike, once they get there, get won over all over again, though.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's a reason why it's so beloved. And you know, this piece is a step forward musically and dramatically, even on La Boheme. And it's got a lot of what, if you take the time to sort of dissect it, has some really modernistic elements to it, for sure.
And it's, what, 1900?
1903, so it's right after. Tosca was 1900, and then this was 1903. So those 3 years really made a difference in terms of what he was exploring.
Yeah, as I say, it's a really interesting progression of styles that Puccini went through, and right on up through Turandot 1924, still just,
right.
You know, at the one hand, traditional, on the other, progressive.
Sometimes when a composer is accessible, he or she is taken for granted because of the ease of accessing them, belies really the skill that sits beneath that. And I think Puccini is finally getting his due in that regard amongst the serious musicians, you know.
Shall we tap into the finale of this opera?
Yeah, this is right before, you know, she basically decides that she's good, because she can't live with honor, she's going to die with honor, you know, doing harakiri, which was the way her father died as well, who was also dishonored. And so the sort of circular nature of this is really incredibly powerful in terms of how things end up.
Well, there is, of course, some Orientalism in there too, isn't there?
Yeah, the pentatonic and whole tone scales is very, very authentic feeling, for sure.
So, Bill, what part did you sing in this opera?
I did Yamadori, and I did the Bonds once, and I did the Imperial Commissioner. So I didn't do any of the big paycheck roles. But
nor is it possible that you could have sustained that, you're saying.
Well, no. I mean, that it takes really major league singers to pull this music off. And like I said, we have that. We're very, very blessed to have a great cast for this.
The name of the opera is Madama Butterfly. It's by Puccini, and it's one of the great ones, one of the very greatest of operas in terms of the popularity scale. And the Florentine Opera of Milwaukee is going to be performing it twice this weekend, once on Friday, that's the 16th, at 7:30, Eline Hall, and then on Sunday the 18th at 2:30, also in Eline Hall. And you'll have a very enthusiastic response, I'm sure.
We're looking forward to it.
Well, thanks for coming over from Milwaukee again, Bill, and filling us in.
Thanks as always, Norman.
What's up next after this?
Three Decembers by Jake Heggie, a complete change, one-act chamber opera. A very powerful piece in a completely different way, though.
So, sure.
Yeah.